Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 23, and Luke 2, verses 39 to 40. Christ's identity shown by his settlement in Galilee. The return of the infant Jesus to Israel from Egypt was itself fraught with humanly unsettling conditions, but again, God's sovereign hand was involved in it all to reveal the true identity of Jesus as the Messiah and God. We view Matthew 2, 19 to 23 with Luke 2, 39 to 40 on this return for our insight and edification as follows. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Matthew 2, 19 to 23. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign there in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. And then Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they, that's Mary and Joseph and Jesus, returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. All right, after Herod died, God's angel appeared the third time to Joseph in a dream in Egypt to direct him to take the infant Jesus and his mother and safely return to Israel. In those days, dreams were very important. And also, angels were highly regarded by the Jews. And the angel appearing to a man in a dream, that was a signal, that was a message from God. And this is the third time the angels appeared to Joseph. And the angel had told him before, go down into Egypt and wait there until you hear from me again. So he's waiting in Egypt. He's expecting to hear from the angel. So the angel appears to him. And Joseph thus arose from sleep and returned with his young family to the land of Israel. Now what he did, he probably used the shortest route, and it's a route that would avoid the desert, went right up the coast. There's a smooth coastline there from the Mediterranean Sea, right from Egypt right up to Israel, just kind of curves up. And he was going to go up that way. And apparently Joseph's intent was to go inland. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, that he'd been born in Bethlehem, so the idea is to return to Bethlehem. That's where the Messiah is supposed to be. That's what he thought. And Joseph had an interesting job. He was a carpenter. And carpenters made everything from wood plows to building houses, carving things out of wood. It was a job that was very adaptable, a lot like carpenters today. And he could get a job down in Bethlehem just like you could back in Nazareth. That wasn't a problem at all. And he might have had his tools with him, who knows. But anyway, evidently, he had intended to settle in Bethlehem since he knew Jesus to be the Messiah who had been born there. And Micah chapter 5, verse 2 is where it's predicted in Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 26, and Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 37. He knew from Mary would have spoken to him about the appearance of the angel to him, that Jesus was the Messiah. And of course, he would have known that Jesus was going to save his people from their sins. And comparing notes, Joseph and Mary knew pretty well who Jesus was. However, Archelaus began to rule Judea, and he slew 3,000 Hebrews when he began his reign. The people had been under tremendous pressure under Herod the Great, and they were afraid to rebel against him. But this is a son. Archelaus is one of the younger sons, so they had the courage to rebel. And the Jews were constantly bothered by the fact that Herod the Great had put a gold eagle, over the door of the temple. Now, you're not supposed to have any figure, like an animal or something else, because that is viewed as idolatrous. And to have an idolatrous figure like this over the door of the temple just bothered the Jews something fierce. So they took the opportunity to rebel. Well, Archelaus wanted to send a signal, you're not going to rebel under my reign. So he killed 3,000 Jews. So this was a troubling time for Joseph when they returned. So when Joseph heard that the Hebrew murderer Archelaus ruled Judea, he was afraid to settle the physically vulnerable little infant Hebrew Messiah, Jesus, there in harm's way of Archelaus. He already had to flee Bethlehem because of his father, Herod the Great, who was after Jesus. He could only imagine what would happen if news got out that Jesus was the Messiah, you know, from people listening to the shepherds and what they had said. And that would bother Archelaus, and he'd go after the infants once again. And Joseph was really bothered about that. And Joseph probably had heard about the slaughter of the infants in Bethlehem when he was in Egypt, because he lived with a huge contingency of Jews down there. That's how he could hide there in Egypt. So this was something that bothered him. And so he decided that in a fourth dream from God's angel, the Lord warned Joseph not to settle there. So he kept traveling up the Mediterranean coastline that he was using out of Egypt without turning inland for Judea, until he arrived in northern Israel, where he could turn east and headed inland to return to his initial home up in Nazareth of Galilee. That's what he did in Matthew chapter 22:22-23a, and Luke chapter 2, verse 4. In Joseph's thus settling the infant Jesus back in Nazareth, Matthew 2:23 adds that it fulfilled what had been spoken by several prophets. Notice there's plural here, that the Messiah would be called a Nazarene. Now, there's a problem with that from the vantage point. This claim, as it appears in the King James Version, is not literally defensible, for no Old Testament prophecy predicted that Jesus would be called, quote, a Nazarene, end of quote. A discrepancy that has led to doubts about divine inspiration of Matthew's gospel. However, a study in the history of the biblical text clears up this problem as follows. Old Testament Bible professor Ron Allen reported that when he was once visiting Israel, he saw a city road sign outside of modern Nazareth, and both the Arabic and the Hebrew translations of the sign supplied the TS letter. That letter is the Hebrew letter Tzadi in the alphabet. For the English letter Z is Nazareth. In other words, in Hebrew or in Arabic, it would be Nazareth, not Nazareth. And that's a big difference. So Matthew was referring to Netzer. That's the Hebrew word for shoot in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, where the Messiah would be a shoot that sprouted up out of the stump of Jesse. That's his father, and or the great ancestor of David. And three Old Testament prophets used a synonym for Netzer in the word Tzema, which is translated a branch. And that predicted that the Messiah would be the figurative branch from the stump of David. The picture was the stump of that used to be a tree of David, the Davidic kings, and the tree was cut off at the stump, level. And so you still had descendants of David, but they were nowhere in the rule of Israel at all. They couldn't rule at all. So this is interesting. This prophecy in Isaiah 4, 2, Isaiah 6, 13, Jeremiah 23, 5, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, picture the day when this cut-off stump would have a shoot come out just below the cut line, and that shoot would come up, and the tree would grow once again through that shoot. And that shoot, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Mr. Allen reports that excavations from the old city of Nazareth reveal that around 100 B.C., a small group of returning Hebrew exiles from Babylon settled in the area. And they gave the area its family name, Nazara. And they believed that the shoot or the branch, that is the Messiah, would arise from their midst, what apparently led other Hebrews to scoff at their claim, since the Messiah was predicted to be born in Bethlehem of Judea and presumably therefore raised there. So this negative attitude towards the Hebrews in Nazareth is evidenced by Nathanael's question in John 1:46, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Remember when Nathanael was told that Jesus was the Messiah, the Jesus of Nazareth, he said, wait a minute, can anything good come out of Nazareth? How are we going to get a Messiah out of Nazareth? It's supposed to come out of Bethlehem, out of Judea. Well, the Hebrew letter tsari does not translate well into the Greek that Matthew used for his gospel. So Matthew used the Greek letter zeta for the Hebrew letter tsari, which was translated in the King James Version as a Z instead of the Hebrew tsi, to form the technically inexact Nazareth instead of the correct Nazareth. Okay? Thus, by being settled and growing up in Nazareth, Jesus actually precisely fulfilled several Hebrew messianic prophets' predictions of being the Davidic shoot or the branch, while also being despised by other Hebrews as one of the Hebrews of Nazareth in fulfillment of passages like Isaiah 49:7 and Isaiah 53:3 that indicated that the Messiah would be despised. And he was despised by his own people. So Matthew knew what he was doing when he wrote what he did. Matthew would probably be troubled if he found out it was translated into English as Nazareth. He's thinking as a Jew. He's thinking of Nazareth. Okay, Nazareth. Now, when Joseph returned the infant Jesus and his mother Mary to settle in Nazareth of Galilee, Jesus there grew, became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. I don't know if you're aware of Nazareth. It's actually a very beautiful place. It's up above the valley of what is going to be Armageddon. It's up over the hill, and then there's kind of a little cupped in area. It's a beautiful area. In that area today, they grow a lot of crops or a lot of fruit trees, that type of thing. And it's the weather's much better, and the soil is quite fruitful up there. It was quite a place for the Lord Jesus to grow up as a child. And he would have been exposed to a lot of Gentiles. They had a huge battalion of Roman soldiers who were headquartered there. And there are several major trade routes that cross in that area through Nazareth and in the area. So there was a lot of activity, a lot of farming activity that went on there. And Joseph probably would have been into farming and then went into carpentry. And around the life of Christ, there was a city by the name of Sepphoris that was built. It was a Hellenistic city. They didn't. They were Jews who wanted to conform to the Greek culture. And it's possible that Joseph was hired as one of the carpenters to help build that city. We don't know. We're not told. But there's evidence that Joseph died probably before Jesus went out into life. He was still alive when Jesus was 12 years of age before his bar mitzvah. But not long after that, apparently he died because Jesus was responsible for leading the family. That's why he committed his mother over to John at the cross. His father wasn't there. So we know that it was interesting. But Nazareth is a remarkable place, a very nice place, and Jesus was raised there. So the lesson is forced to avoid being settled and raised in his birthplace of Bethlehem, instead to be settled and raised as a despised Hebrew in Nazareth, Jesus fulfilled the messianic branch prophecies of several Old Testament prophets. Thus, God's inspiration of Matthew's gospel is vindicated, and Jesus is evidenced to be the Messiah. So in application, may we believe the divine inspiration of Matthew's gospel and the messianic identity of Jesus Christ. And while we're at it, we can also add here, you see the value of getting to know the original languages. If we don't know the original languages, we don't have an answer for Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. It's just Nazareth. And you can look up high and low, and you're not going to find any prophet talking about Jesus being a Nazarene. But when you understand the Hebrew background, and it's referring to the branch, and there are lots of prophecies that deal with the branch and the shoot that comes out of the cut-off stump of David, all of a sudden makes perfect sense. And the fact that the people who settled up there claimed that the Messiah was going to come from them, and therefore they were despised by other Jews, you can understand why Jesus would be despised, having come from Nazareth as well. So he went ahead and identified with that. It's amazing. God sent his son to live in amongst a group of Jewish people up in Nazareth who were not looked highly upon by other people, and they were looked down upon. And in that area was a very dark area spiritually, where Jesus was raising. He was casting demons out one night. He stayed up until the early hours of the morning casting demons out of fellow Jewish people, which means that there must have been tremendous spiritual darkness in that area. But God sent his son into the neediest part of Israel, and he ministered there. So don't be concerned if God has sent you to a situation, maybe in a job situation or a family or somewhere, where it seems to be unusually dark. There's nothing wrong with you. God may want you to be the light. He may be the only light that is available for them. So we need to hang in there. But we can trust the divine inspiration of Matthew's gospel, and we can trust the messianic identity of the Lord Jesus. It seems that every little step that occurs in the life of Christ so far, God is working very, very hard to demonstrate he's a Messiah, he's a Messiah, he's a Messiah, he's my son, so that we would believe in him. God help us to believe in him.